This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 10, featuring Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and Sabrina Rasmussen. Discussion.
And here we are once again. I still have no good way to introduce this show, so I will just say this is me and Matt, as hey. Always, and with us this week is Sabrina, also from Canada.
Hello.
Here to discuss, I have no idea, my notes say nothing. So this is day three, well it feels like day three, it's really just podcast number three, day two of the Penny Arcade Expo. Yes, they still do have looking at video games.
Yay!
And the kids, the Canadian children that I spend my time with, spent their day looking at video games, and Daddy had a nap. So
nice skillet nap.
It's true. That was a fine skillet nap.
And a shocking and startling turn of events. Our guest today isn't someone Al was friends with in high school.
No,
in fact, it's someone you were friends with in high school.
That I was friends with in high school.
Matt claims to have other friends as well, in fact, along at the convention here, but I've yet
wondering where I've been spending my time this weekend.
Where do you go?
With wandering the girls.
Matt, do you have a cocaine addiction?
No, you spend it with girls all the time.
That's true.
It's true. And yet?
Listen, I've struggled with that problem a lot. Years.
We all did. That's certainly not unique to you. I had.
Let's go shopping. Okay.
Only if we can look at pretty, pretty dresses.
With the ruffles and the belts and the fine.
You would look so good with puffed sleeves.
So you guys have had the run of the con. You've done some panels. You've seen what there is to see. What was worth seeing? What did I miss, really? What is there anything that jumps out? Is there anything particularly... No,
there wasn't any really big game announcements this year. You know?
Well, they don't do the announcements. Isn't that more like E3? Isn't this just more of a gathering?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, last year, all I wanted to see was Fallout 3. Fallout 3. Go to Fallout 3. You got to see the Fallout 3 panel. And then I missed it, of course. Because I was off looking for Amanda.
I did notice they had the setup for the Star Trek multiplayer game, which looked exactly like the setup they had last year for the same game that was still not released
yet. Yeah, exactly. It looks basically the same. I've read articles on it, and I'm really looking forward to it whenever it decides.
Yes, but I was feeling the same way in September of 2008.
Yeah, exactly.
It's as a casual gamer, even, as a Star Trek fan, I was sort of like, oh, nice, Star Trek, and still not out.
No.
So that whole vaporware thing still happens all the time, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is nice. So really, nothing of note, nothing of interest.
Well, there's a Star Wars multi RPG thing that we're gonna go look at tomorrow. But for the most part, no, there's nothing major going on.
Which is not to say you didn't have fun.
Oh no, it was awesome.
So there's just nothing noteworthy.
Saw some shit.
Sounds like the most interesting thing to happen this weekend is me running out of gas at a at an intersection here in South Seattle where I live.
The best part was was when you guys were off getting the gas, I said, well, at least we got something to talk about in the podcast tonight. He's like, don't bring that up.
Well, no.
Now you didn't have to.
It's my fuck up, and I should totally get out in front of this and say, I'm an idiot. I've only been driving a car for 15 years. I didn't know you're supposed to put gas in the tank. So
butt wagon.
It's true. I deserve the title butt wagon.
Butt wagon?
Hey, honey, get out of the car. Papa needs some gas.
That's what happened. We sent the girls along to go buy us some gas, and... Matt and I, being masculine as we are, sat in the car.
Hoped that we wouldn't get honked at.
Passive-aggressively muttering to the people like that were irritated behind me.
No, that's fine. Go around. No, you can just sit there and honk.
What's this jerk doing?
Or this guy again.
Matt's very famous. Well, soon to be famous, I imagine. The only riff that he ever needs for a movie. If he ever made a guest appearance on Mystery Science Theater, his only line is...
Here comes this guy again.
Here comes this guy again.
Comedic gold.
Absolutely.
By the way, that phrase is copyright, so don't any of you use it for your own Mystery Science Theater ring.
Didn't you actually steal it from Mystery Science Theater?
I did,
in the first
actually.
Place? So don't just go copywriting.
I just didn't want to tell you because I figured at some point it would you would remember it or something.
I know, because the problem in you might not be aware of this being Canadian, but really here, if you say I'm copywriting a thing. That's it. That's not a power you can just throw around. If you say, turning this Slurpee cup upside down and putting a piece of string on top of it is a new invention, I copyright this. That's it. It's officially copyrighted. It's registered in the trademark office. And
no wonder you guys are always
We've already got a Gene Simmons. We don't need another one.
Doesn't he just put the KISS logo on everything?
Pretty much. Caskets, condoms.
Anyone want some KISS dental floss?
Children's clothes.
I do like
kids
the
love KISS.
Just like they love Justice League.
Oh, there's a topic for us. That's actually something I've been wanting to bring up for a while now. And this is a bit you guys started that I've definitely continued. Kids do indeed love Justice League. I've noticed this watching the animated, the fantastically excellent Bruce Timm series. So many horrible things happening to people, so many adult situations.
I mean, it really sort of dawned on me. I got the New Frontier movie, right, which was awesome.
New Frontier is probably my favorite original comic of the last 10
years. Oh, yeah,
years.
It was so fucking good.
I love
good.
It so much. The art and the story both.
But, you know, me and Amanda are watching the movie, and...
I was there too.
Were you there then?
They can't see you putting your hand up, so if you want to object, you have to be
okay,
vocal.
Okay, fine. Me and Amanda and Sabrina, who is gesturing wildly.
Do I need the Phoenix Wright song?
Yes, that's right. Objections!
I don't have the snappy suit, though.
I'm sorry. We'll pick one up for you later.
Alright.
So you were actually in the middle of the story.
Yeah, yeah. So we were watching the New Frontier, and with its various, Was it Vietnam or Korea?
Korea. Because it was set in the late 50s.
Yeah, the bunch of women in Korea killing all the men in their village.
And honestly, that was, to me, like, I have problems with Wonder Woman just because she's kind of a mess and there's really no sort of unifying thing.
Yeah.
Like militant feminist Wonder Woman is a great direction to take that character, and I really enjoyed that. That's my favorite Wonder Woman that I've ever seen. But yes, they did brutally kill all the women, or all the men, or put them in cages or something horrible, and... Mm-hmm. She was like a radical feminist, and kids
but,
love Wonder Woman.
So we're watching that, and I sort of turn to the girls, and I'm like, wow, kids love Justice League. Mm.
Yeah, and they did cut out the subplot with the black guy almost being lynched,
Well,
watching the Green Lantern direct-to-DVD feature they did, there was some horrible stuff in that.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy sucked out of a pinhole out of the airlock.
Oh, fuck, that was messed up.
You know,
up.
Just a hole about the size of a quarter. Mm.
Hole about this size computer. Yeah. I'm just reading. Do you see it clearly, listening audience?
It's a quarter, okay? It's a quarter. But yeah, just sort of sucked out the airlock a little bit at a time. And mm-hmm. there was a drug addict whore.
Yep.
That Sinestro was beating for information. No, he was. I'll give you some drugs. Yeah. That's what it was.
Hookers and blow.
Yeah. Mm.
Kids love Justice League.
They do.
And we're watching, I was rewatching some of the, like, JLU, like, some of that great stuff. Mm. And you got the question quoting Ayn Rand.
Mm-hmm.
And you got...
Kids love Ayn Rand.
And Green Arrow's very first appearance, one of his first lines is, I'm an old lefty. Which, I know what he means, and it's cool. Like, yes, he's on the opposite end of the political spectrum from the other guy. But an 8-year-old watching that, what the hell? What's
Green
a lefty?
Arrow, Green Arrow's pulling his bow back with his right hand. What a liar.
And incidentally, as we did previously, actually I did previously say that left-hand people were freaks and mutants, and really all I meant it was that Flonk was.
We got a lot of hate mail for that one.
It's true. A lot of bad Twitter publicity there.
Which I mean like three Twitter.
No, pretty much every decent artist I know is like Pat Loika and like Corwin Gibson and like all these really talented guys apparently
are
left-handed.
All those people we wanted to talk to at some point boycotted the show.
Yeah, guys using their left hands to draw really pretty pictures.
And gesture with us with their...
giving us the, you know, the two
hey,
finger...
Hey, you like this?
Yeah.
I can do it with either hand. I like my left hand now.
So I apologize. I misspoke. Really, Flonk is the freak. Everyone else who is left-handed is a lovely, lovely person.
Back to the Wonder Woman thing.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, by all means.
My favorite Wonder Woman is when she was Wonder Pig. It's been fairly documented that this is my favorite Wonder Woman
episode. Is not
favorite
a...
Justice League episode of all time.
I was not a fan of that episode, and I'll tell you why. Batman never should compromise his dignity. And they made Batman sing to make things go back to normal, and it just didn't feel like...
I loved that.
It felt like Batman lost. And
I get the argument for that, and I mean, obviously I do, because, you know, massive Batman fan.
Of course, who isn't?
But,
you get to hear Kevin Conroy's lovely voice.
I also like that episode because that was really funny.
It was seeing Red, what was it, Red Tornado walking down the street going, sweet.
Yeah, that was good, too.
Oh, it had a lot of good moments, I will say.
Probably one of my favorite episodes.
And it feels to me like Kevin Conroy, this is finally how I sort of justified it to myself, Kevin Conroy, who at that point had already been doing the voice for 10 years, probably mm-hmm. went in and said, yeah, you know, guys, I can sing. Can't you work that in? And I could just see those guys going, God, Batman doesn't sing.
That's great, Kevin. Hey, just give us another I'm Batman.
Well, you know, it's like,
I'm Batman.
It's like in Next Gen when Dr. Crusher tap danced. You could tell Gates McFadden is like, you know, guys, I got this great talent that you guys haven't exploited at all. Fine,
we don't really need an episode where Dr. Crusher. Saves
I'm quitting
the,
again.
Saves the Enterprise from Romulans by tap dancing.
That's it. I'm leaving. You better call Dr. Pulaski back. I'm bailing.
It's the only way Captain Picard will remember who he is.
By bringing in the arts.
Yeah. Yeah,
music.
But they did. Stop that. But no, they. I just get the feeling Kevin Conroy is like, hey, you know, I can sing, can't we? All right, fine. And one
can kick,
and I can kick. People are always saying Kevin Conroy. Yeah.
He has a lovely voice.
He really, really does, and I am so excited to see the new Batman Superman thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just
gonna be great
to have him and to have the voice of Superman back, Tim Daly, and to have Clancy Brown doing Lex again. And really excited.
That was Clancy Brown.
Yeah,
in like
Mr.
in the
Krabs?
Playing.
That's awesome.
Playing
he
Lex.
Was the
yeah.
Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, Mr. Krabs was the Kurgan.
I'm not sure who he is outside
of
Lex.
He was a bad guy from Highlander.
Oh, okay. He also made a brief stint on Lost. I remember that. Because I was watching Lost, and I was like, who is... I know that voice. Is that guy... He sounds like he should be black. Who is that guy?
And he
was Clancy Brown.
He was in Shawshank, too.
Was he?
Yeah, yeah.
He was, oh, you're right.
He was a prison
guard.
He's
one of the guards, correct. But
yeah. So right, he had to get busy living or get busy dying.
Have you not seen The Shawshank? Really?
In its entirety, no.
Huh.
I've not.
All right.
I watched it with the wrong person then. I watched it with Kim one time. She's like, this is boring!
Yeah, there you go.
I actually made Amanda watch it for the first time.
Made a poor choice.
Like,
no, I still have to watch it in its entirety. My dad loves it.
It's one of those movies that everyone, like,
yeah.
Even if you don't like it very much, you don't like it very much, but nobody hates it.
Yeah.
It's still a good movie. Like, I quite enjoy it. But no, what I was going to say about the Justice League thing was the thing those guys really did really well is they must have had like a list of concepts, like this is something we can never do well, and they managed to make it work. Like Batman Beyond had Ace the Bat-Hound, for Christ's sake, and they made it work.
Yeah, but it worked perfectly.
And
putting Batman in the internet was so...
I'm
sorry.
He wasn't in the internet.
Whatever.
What are
you
talking about?
The Joker was in the internet.
He had a robot suit. He wasn't in the internet at all.
Batman.
Well, I did. The fact that old Bruce, who was still Kevin Conroy, was still there, still being Batman, still just like a crotchety old man. The kid was incidental. It was like, whatever.
It did give Batman the Animated Series the most depressing ending ever, though.
It's true. Because
yeah, we had to stop because, you know, Robin was kidnapped and brutally brainwashed for months.
And then shot Joker in the
and
face.
Then shot the Joker in the face.
Mm. That was fantastic.
Kids love Batman,
and they gave us the great implication that Bruce and Barbara were romantically involved. That Batman was had a torrid affair with Batgirl, which ended badly,
unsurprisingly.
And she's a bitter old woman in the future. Which, I mean, just the light that it cast on the other story.
Was she in a wheelchair in Batman Beyond? No, they didn't do the Oracle thing.
They wanted to do, actually. I was reading about this recently. They wanted to do a Birds of Prey episode in Justice League. And
that would have been so cool.
Yeah.
But all the Bat characters belonged to the Batman, that show that was going on at the time. And so they couldn't use Barbara, and they couldn't set it in Gotham. And they're like, no, we don't want to do it half-assed, so let's just do something else.
That sucks. I mean, they did that great Huntress...
Yeah, they did a Huntress Black Canary thing.
Black Canary,
yeah.
Green Arrow, and...
And they even got Gail Simone to write it,
Gail Simone
to write
it. It was great.
Yeah.
But, you know...
It wasn't Birds of Prey. Right, no, it's
which
great.
The TV show was terrible.
That's also a shame.
It looked very pretty, but...
I never saw it. I did, however, read that Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks, who is one of the most attractive women on TV in the history of television, I challenge you to come up with a hotter one, almost played Harley Quinn on that show, and I really wish she had, because she would have been a good choice. But no, never saw the show.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
I can't imagine it was.
Mm. Black Canary was a 16-year-old psychic girl.
Yep.
Psychic?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, the reason we brought you here, Sabrina, is to discuss a subject that is very dear to you.
Yes.
which would be the works of one Mr. Joss Whedon, which we have somehow in 10 podcasts now barely, if at all, even touched.
Matt and I
are huge fans of all his stuff,
yeah.
But it hasn't come up yet. So you really are the person to lead
us. I guess we were saving it.
It could be. And my primary question to you is sort of a question to everyone. I've not seen Dollhouse yet. I keep waiting. The way I watch things is word of mouth. I wait to see what the overall opinion of my friends, of my trusted mm-hmm. opinions is. No one has unequivocally said, this is a great show, you got to see. Everyone's like, it's okay.
I mean, there are starting to be more and more reasons for me to want to watch it. They had an episode with Felicia Day, who is gorgeous. they did an episode with Patton Oswalt,
who is
not gorgeous.
Really, which is really good.
I did hear that the show that also happened to be the show where the show started turning around, like the episode where they did some backstory, I guess, and it was nice that he was there, at the same time.
Yeah.
Was it with you this morning? We were walking back to the convention center, and you're like, I think I just saw Patton Oswalt. I just saw a guy who looked like a troll not on a sandwich.
The guy took half a sandwich and sort of put it, unhinged his jaw and just shoved,
God.
Like, a 6-inch sub sideways into his mouth.
Was that Patton Oswalt?
Wow.
And I really hoped that it was, because if that's the guy that made fun of the KFC bowls and he's eating a sandwich like that, then
I mean, just get this down to Hobbit Hut.
Yeah. But really, Sabrina, what is the deal with All House? Is it any good?
It's slow moving. I will say that much. Probably about the fourth or there's 12 episodes, 13 on the DVD, the last one they didn't actually air.
When have we seen this story before?
Yeah.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah.
How's Fox working out for you there, Joss?
Yeah.
My prediction at the beginning, before this all started, was that they would give him his short first season, they
mm-hmm.
would renew it for a second season, and they would cancel it just as he started, like, a
yeah.
running story. And
mm-hmm.
I maintain that prediction.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's all right. We're talking. You need some throat lube.
Liquid refreshment.
Mountain Dew, I missed you.
Unfortunately, Mountain Dew, apparently, the way we know it in America, does not exist in Canada. So
no.
She's enjoying
stalking
a tasty
us.
Beverage that's a novelty
yes,
to her.
Yes, yes, yes.
Slurpees are still perfect.
yeah, so about the fourth or fifth episode, it really starts. They start doing an actual backstory on some of the main characters, and it starts going, and it snowballs, and then it just keeps getting better and better and better.
But you don't need backstory from day one. I mean, really,
no,
if you think about, Buffy and all that, they implied a lot of stuff, but they didn't really give you the depth of it until later.
My worry, though, with Dollhouse is that...
They won't have time?
Well, exactly. It's you've got...
We love you, Joss. God.
He's
get a different neck.
He's going back to the husband that beat him repeatedly.
Exactly. Well,
he's changed. He's a bastard, but he's changed.
No, it's just like you don't have time for that. You have to give us everything we need right away so people will get hooked on this show.
Yeah.
So maybe they won't cancel it. I'm not saying for sure.
No, but this is a guy who's got one of the, maybe the strongest cult following in sort of nerd culture right now.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone who has more of our attention than this guy. And
maybe Kevin Smith back in his heyday.
Yeah, but now.
Not
now. Right
now.
Yeah. Like Kevin Smith could have been that guy, and I think he kind of dropped the ball. But, Joss Whedon just manages. At one point, he had three shows in production simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
and we were all watching them all.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's really just poised to get into the mainstream, to become a little bit bigger, and it just never quite happens for him. Like, I can see a day where he would make the right show and my mom would watch it, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not so inaccessible that...
That's why I'm hoping, Cabin in the Woods does well when it finally comes out.
Now, what is that? I haven't
heard
of that.
He's doing basically sort of traditional horror flick.
Really?
And I haven't seen, trailers or anything for it yet. The only thing I've seen is the posters, which just show your sort of traditional Evil Dead cabin.
I haven't
seen them.
Oh, really?
No.
They came out with, they released them at San Diego Con.
Okay.
They're probably still
mm-hmm.
online somewhere. But, and they have if an old man tells you to stay out of the woods, ignore him and go have sex. And there's like five of them. They're all like that.
So presumably he's going to go a little meta with it, a little self-aware.
Like he does.
Which is fine. Yeah. That's what you expect from him. But
hopefully, you know, it'll...
And I can't think of a thing that he's done where it's just been a standalone, hour and a half, 2 hour movie and nothing else. Like, where it wouldn't be tied to a series or it wouldn't be, you know...
Well, Dr. Horrible.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
But beyond that, you know...
Which, like, I watched last night.
And rightly so.
Yes.
I just recently got the DVD and watched the singing commentary,
which
is fantastic. It really is.
I really got to check that out at some point. Cause...
Commentary is in...
and I thought it was going to be... I thought it was going to be really contrived and all that, and there were a couple of times where, okay, that was a stretch, but for the most part, you know what? It was an hour long.
Name a musical commentary that did the job better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was clever 95% of the time, and so the one or two times where they had to bend the rules to make it fit, it was okay. Yeah, really fantastic. But really, the guy, like you guys say, he keeps going back to this network that just...
But I love him.
And I guess it's probably because he's sort of out on the fringes. He's sort of not quite mainstream successful, and maybe it was just a matter of no one else would buy his show. I mean,
which is ridiculous.
It's either don't make it at all, or go back to Fox.
It's just like, you know, now should be the time when, like, serial shows are huge right now.
Oh yeah, and apparently the mandate that he got from Fox was don't do serialized shows. Make them standalone so people can tune in and pick up on it. And when you think, even specifically on Fox, what their biggest show is, which is probably 24, or their biggest non-reality show anyway.
Or non-animated show.
Okay, that's true. But in any case, 24 has been a big success for them, and that is, you can't tune in to hour 12 and get what's going on. You gotta watch the whole thing. And you look at shows like Lost, and you look at shows like Heroes, big shows, great ratings, regardless of quality. That's not a reflection of what I think of these shows. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying they're big.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're popular, they get good ratings, they bring in money for the network.
And it shows that people are interested
in
a serial show, and they're interested in genre.
Absolutely. Television. And the fact that TV on DVD is really taking off, and people love buying these shows and glutting on them and spending... Yep. That's the way Amanda and I watch shows.
All of his stuff sells insanely well on DVD.
And because what you do is you set aside a day off, you know, your Saturday, and you get up and you get your snack foods and you get your beverage of choice and you watch 24 episodes in a row, just from dawn to dusk.
Pretty much. Yeah,
that's and it's like a 24-hour movie. It works so well.
But no, Fox didn't want to do that.
Nope,
they just want something to fill time until they can put another reality show on. Yeah, no, we just need something to fill
it. I didn't want to go in that direction just because I don't like reality TV, but, you know.
But it just seems, like, so obvious.
Yeah.
It's true.
I didn't want to watch another Are You Smarter Than a Clump of Dirt?
What a piece of string.
Ding, and you get money.
Isn't the host of that show Jeff Foxworthy?
Yeah, which should be another.
What kind of a message does that send? Yeah.
Well, then they made us one. Are You Smarter Than a Canadian? Grader. Hosted by Colin Mockery.
Now I kind of want to watch that. Colin Mockery.
It was actually kind of adorable. He's a giant child anyway.
Well, he is.
Please watch this. They canceled Blackfly.
But yeah, unfortunately, Joss Whedon just cannot get a break. I mean, and the thing is, he's also sort of right out there. Like, Dr. Horrible was kind of unique in that it was the first time somebody with some Hollywood pull, somebody that people have heard of, really embraced the internet and said, hey, you know what? You don't have to make a show on TV.
Yeah, check this shit out.
Watch it this way and then buy the DVD later. And it seems to have worked for him really well.
Yeah, it's worked out. That worked out insanely well.
Yeah. And I haven't really seen anyone else do it quite the way he's done it. But one can hope.
It was just such a neat concept. It just grew out of being completely bored. Not being able to do
that's right. Didn't that happen during the writer's strike?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, I'm not allowed to write for TV, so what else? How can I get around this?
Yeah.
Reprogram the simulation.
Hey, do you guys want to
God damn it. All the people he knew.
Yeah, because, you
cheated.
Know.
I cheated. I cheated, of course. The rules of simulation.
Now I've set Matt on the path of Kobayashi Maru, so we're doomed.
Much like the Kobayashi Maru itself.
It's true. I don't believe in the no-win scenario. Bite apple.
crickets and tumbleweed on this side of the table.
Yeah, for you. Sabrina doesn't like Star Trek.
Fine. All right, well,
give me some vampires. Kiss my ass.
No one's saying there's anything wrong with vampires at all, but...
And I like Star Wars.
Nothing wrong with Star Wars either.
I like Star Wars.
We're just We're just not allowed to talk about it. That's all.
All right.
Okay, so we do have a number of listener.
I can't see shit. yours in Christ.
What's wrong?
The blue screen of death has come back.
Well,
can't see shit, sir.
Funny you should mention that because many of these questions are from, you guessed it, Flonk.
Your friendly neighborhood.
Our
Flonk.
Number one fan. Number one fan.
I'm sorry.
He didn't get out of the cockadoody car. So, and knowing that we are recording these at the Penny Arcade Expo, or near it, not actually at it. But,
yeah, it would be way noisier.
Yeah.
It's true. He is asking us a number of PAX-related questions, which is fine.
Okie doke.
And this one is directed at me. Will you be seeing noted joke thief Will Wheaton at PAX? I did not see him. I really don't.
We saw him and we booed him yesterday.
Did you?
Quite quietly.
Thank you.
The roof.
That's okay. No, passive-aggressive is totally in the spirit of... you know, of the thing. If I had passed him, like, walking around, and I can say this because I didn't, but if I somehow found myself actually face-to-face...
Like in an elevator with Will.
Yeah, I would have said, excuse me, sir, you did steal a couple of my jokes, you owe me an apology.
Repent.
Yes.
Repent.
I am Ron Watt. You stole my jokes. Prepare to die.
I'll bring a big timpani drum.
It's true.
I'm a
gong. Unfortunately, no. I actually, to the guy's credit, he is insanely popular. I didn't see this year, but last year the lines to see him were out the fucking door, and I assume it's the same way this year.
His panel will be tomorrow, I believe.
And I'm sure it'll be packed.
Yeah.
We are not going.
No, we're going to the Gabe and Petco slamming.
Yay.
All right. Fair enough.
But my buddy Mark's going to see him.
Well, tell him there's $20 in it for him if he calls him a noted joke thief. and then give him $20. The next question is also from Flonk. Dear Al, do you understand what's going on at PAX? And he signs it Taco Man.
Well, Taco Man.
I hear there's good burritos.
Taco Man came by.
Flonk Taco Man.
This is yours in Christ, Flonk Taco Man. This, of course, is a reference to the fact that the webcomic Penny Arcade, I maybe understand...
What, like one out of eight?
I was thinking maybe 30-40% maybe. They make a lot of references to games that they assume that I've played or heard of, and I'm not a big gamer. I don't know what the... When they go general comedy, I get it every time, and I think they're very funny. I think it's a great strip, and I want to be clear on that. I admire the hell out of those guys for turning...
Well, yeah. I mean, good lord, two guys who made a webcomic.
Exactly, a crummy little webcomic, and this convention...
Yeah. Excuse me, two conventions a year now.
Oh, that's true, they spun it off to PAX East as well.
A video game.
A video game with luminary Ron Gilbert.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say, I mean, having been to this convention last year, it was quite crowded, quite successful. This year, there is literally twice as many people there.
In the same venue.
They did open the other side. You noticed before you'd go in and there was just the left side of the hall was open and now they've opened the right side as well. So it's twice as big.
Yeah, it's going to be even bigger next year.
I believe it.
Up one of the buildings across the street. Yeah.
And it was sold out. Like I expected the day of the venue to be able to just walk up to the door and buy tickets. And
that's what happened last year.
Yes. And 2 weeks ago they said, sorry, you can't do it. Fortunately, they did manage to find some under the couch or something and I was able to buy tickets more for Amanda than for me. But for a while there was a real danger that I dropped the ball because I assumed, well, who wants to go to PAX? I mean, there'll be tickets. Don't worry. Yeah, I failed.
Which also corresponds with Dragon Con this year.
Yes.
Which
do you just say Dragon Con or do you have to say Dragon Star Con? Because when it's written out, people put the little asterisk. There is an asterisk.
I would actually like to go.
It's very fun.
I would like to go to Dragon Con at some point.
It's very lucrative, especially for me.
I mean, in addition to it being, you know, an awesome geek convention, there's a lot of people who are internet famous that I would like to see there.
It's true.
There's tons of stuff going on.
And I was mentioning to these guys earlier, probably when we were stranded at the stoplight when I ran out of gas, the one thing that I really would have been looking forward to at that con was the two guys who played Crow on Mystery Science Theater 3000, Trace Ballou and Bill Corbett, were doing a simultaneous panel where they were both answering questions about Crow. And anything that shows off that these two sort of... What's been presented to us as sort of warring camps of people, the Cinematic Titanic and the Rift Tracks people... Anything that shows that they get along and they're good. I don't know, something about that in my...
And that there's a chance that they'll all work together.
Well, that would be nice, but just deep down, it's more important to me that they're friends. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I care.
Friends.
But I like knowing that the two crows are friendly enough to do a panel together.
My biggest thing is that Doc Hammer goes to that con
and
every year.
And he loves it.
He's
well, that's because
Doc Hammer come this way.
His people are there. So,
he's at least number three on the list of guys I would actually fuck.
Wow.
So who are one and two then? You brought this up. And Flonk's just going to ask it next week if you want to say it now. So you might as well.
We could.
Is Flonk one of them?
Oh, God, no.
Do you need me to leave the room?
Do you need
a moment?
No.
No. Sure.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, he actually swings that way.
I know,
so
that works out really fun.
Yeah. And
he's actually hosting the Emmys.
Nathan Fillion.
That's fair.
Wow.
We went last night to a pizza place that Nathan Fillion suggested.
Yay. It was delicious.
Yeah, so
thank you, Mr. Twitter.
Thank you, Mr. Twitter.
I voted for Brent Spiner.
I would have as well had I known about it.
Oh.
Internet phenomenon, Brent
Spiner.
You got
about 18 million of my votes, so there you go.
But yeah, Dragon Con, we have been receiving regular reports via Twitter from our good friends there, Jadson and Dewey. And it sounds like a great time, and I wish...
It's tons of fun.
It sounds like it.
5 years ago, and it was great. I sadly have not been back, but I went once, and I don't really need to go back.
I think I probably would have enjoyed that more than PAX, just because I'm more of
a general
nerd and less of a specifically video game guy.
I'm much more of a comic nerd than I am a video game nerd.
So but that's not even about comics, so isn't it ostensibly about role-playing games? But really, it's just one of those everything.
It's just an all geek shit
they
bonanza.
They put it as a sci-fi and fantasy game.
Like, they also do panels on, like, sci-fi novels, which is really cool.
Yep, they have different tracks for stuff. Like, our favorite one was the Brick Track Room.
Yeah. I was...
Where they would just go and we'd talk about Red Dwarf.
Yeah.
One of the guys that ran the panel brought in his episodes of Danger Mouse.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice.
Till about 3 in the morning.
That's awesome.
I have not seen Danger Mouse in years. I very much enjoyed that show as a lad.
And they would do their own version of Whose Line Is It Anyway, which is hilarious.
Very nice.
But yeah, it is very... It is a very good convention to go to.
Yeah.
It sounds like it. And it sounds like...
It's tons of fun. You meet tons of really cool people.
I would much... Like, that's the sort of thing that I would much rather do the trek to than, say, like, San Diego Con.
San Diego apparently is just a meat market at this point.
It's so big that, like, you can't... Like, if you just want to flip through long boxes or whatever, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's really not about comics anymore.
Exactly.
But, I have good things to say about our own, Seattle's own Emerald City Comic Con, which is sort of a mid-level venue. It's not the...
And apparently impossible for us to get to.
What? We went last year. Oh, you didn't go.
Yeah, exactly.
But we were there.
Grail.
It's a great show because I've been to sort of the big ridiculous, like I've been to Wizard World Chicago.
Yes.
And I've been to the very smaller sort of sad venues as well, and it's in between. It's a nice size.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh was actually Pittsburgh was all right. I'm talking about Baltimore, which
going
is
in the shithole now.
Hell on earth. But
I didn't go this year.
The Wizard is dying. So
Emerald City Con is a great mid-level venue. It's not super packed like PAX is. It's crowded, like it's comfortably busy, but it's not, you know, overblown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And things aren't overpriced, and this is generally a good time, and I really enjoy it. And still, you get the big names. You get the big guys, and you get the occasional announcement, and it's a good time. I really enjoy that. So, our next question comes from one of our friends named Gav, this one from England. Dear Al, I don't know why these are all directed at me.
I'm on the podcast too.
There is a co-host and there is a guest. Please consider that there are three people.
It's the same thing on the...
Name of popular comic book message board deleted.
It's like, yeah, you know, Al's got a whole new thing going on with some guy. Well, I don't know who he is.
You realize you just said the name that we said we would not
shit,
say.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to bleep that.
The Kill Bill thing in there.
Matt mentioned the name of the comic book message board where we met, but you will not be hearing that name, listener. Being a fellow ginger, you know what? I'm not answering this question. That is in poor taste. And I will say, for the record, you cannot spell ginger without N-I-G-G-E-R. True fact. Matt, this question is for you.
Awesome.
Since you also work in a comic store, I was wondering, do you have any questions that smell like they are hiding old cheese on them? I have one customer that has the problem that I used to use a whole can of Lysol to get rid of the stench. How do you deal with smelly slash weird customers? Signed, Matt.
That's a tough one. And I have had my I've had some of the most insane goddamn people come into that place.
Insanely stinky.
I've had Stinky Cheese Man.
Stinky Cheese Man came by.
Who just
love that guy?
Who just delights in the fact that he doesn't shower.
Point of clarification: does he wear the cheese, or does the cheese in fact wear him?
The cheese in fact wears him.
Gotcha.
It's like his soul is cheese.
Gotcha. Continue.
Begging to escape from his mortal shell.
All right.
So you get like this guy walking in just with caked
visible stench cloud
caked in silk,
bacon which, waves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like the pig pen cloud.
With like yes. that, like that. The hair just pinned to his scalp by sweat and grease.
Right?
It just comes in. I gotta finger the books.
Greasy?
Do you have any books by Ray Bradbury? I'm a fan of
really,
Ray.
Really? They're Ray Bradbury fans, aren't
I'm a I'm a fan of his works in fiction.
Because I enjoy me some Ray Bradbury in my own self. And
Fahrenheit 451 was one of the finest. That's great, dude. I'm a fan myself. Please go away. I'm dying.
So what do you do? How do you deal with a guy?
Unless they're being, you know, like crazy or whatever, you tend to leave them alone.
So do you actually get the actual clothespin to put on your nose, or do you just kind of try not to be upwind of them?
You basically don't breathe in. Gotcha. And I mean, back when we were working, when I was working at the old store, which had two levels, I would work in the basement where all the comics are, right? Ah. It would be the nonfiction. And
we all know, scientifically, stink rises.
Yes, exactly.
So if you stay lower than the stench,
but
you're
the thing
fine.
Is, if you're in the basement, it just traps it.
Gotcha.
There's no way for it to escape. So it would be me, wilting, visibly, and this dude just, like, waddling around the, the store.
Nice.
Ah, the basement.
Okay, just, like... his horrible greasy fingers all over everything.
Well, and we've established previously that Matt's move is to be passive aggressive.
Yes.
To angrily Twitter to the rest of us. You know, this person will not. You know, oh no, that's fine.
No, that's fine.
Just
I love
paying
the fact
pennies.
That your crotch is infested with lice.
Yeah, but to the person, I picture he's like, oh no, thank you, sir.
Whatever you say,
please,
sir.
Please come back.
Motherfuck.
Just get what you need and leave.
I don't get, like, stinky is not a huge problem. Our old store used to be across the street from a methadone clinic.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah.
Does methadone have a distinct odor, or is it just,
Is it really?
Yeah.
The old one?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. I just never really ventured on that side of
all
the
times you came down to visit me. And you never.
No,
even...
was quite a bit.
I'm saying you were down there all the time.
I can't imagine the methadone clinic has a neon bar sign outside either. If you don't know what it is, they probably try to be discreet about it.
Yeah.
But
I got some of the flat out crazy people. I was working. I was working cash one time. We have out front like boxes of 25-cent books, so people just walk in with like a pile of them, and give me a couple of bucks and leave, right? So, and we also have a store cat, which people want to talk about all the time.
For some reason, Matt cannot stand the fact that the store has a cat and people want to ask him about it. This drives him insane.
They would drive you insane, too, if for 5 years all people wanted to know was how old your cat was.
Should wear it on a button.
We used to have a sign up front that said, the cat's name is Rascal. He is blah, blah, blah years old.
Then you should wear it on a button so that if people
ask
you
me about Loom.
Then people are going to be walking around staring at Matt's nipple all day.
No, they do that all day.
So
there's me sitting at the front desk. Uh-huh. The cat's sitting in front of me on the front desk. Mm-hmm. And this lady comes in with a book. And she looks at the cat and she says, that's a nice cat. Thank you. Cat as nice as that, you could take to Mars. Cat as nice as that, you could take to the moon. And while I'm processing that, like, there's this sort of second long thing in my brain where I'm like, the fuck did she just say to me? There's no way she could possibly have just said what I... No, that works, yeah.
Did she really say Mars before the moon?
Yeah.
So she went... Now that's the part that bothers me. Not taking the cat into space, but the fact that you would go to the further place before you went.
This closer one.
Yeah, exactly.
But and that
just makes sense.
And just I'm about to try and go, you know, like what?
Yeah.
Or something. She looks me in the eye and she goes, "The Black Priest rules all," and left.
Wow.
And I'm just like, just silent because
maybe Mars is the dominant planet.
What do you do? Yeah, let him go.
It's prettier than the
moon. This is why I choose to work in a cubicle.
Rather
than deal with the public, exactly.
The greasy public.
Our next question comes from you-know-who. And he doesn't say dear, he says drat. I'm not sure if that's his iPhone doing an autocorrect.
Drat
or
Al.
Drat Al and Matt is what it says. I'm eating eggs. What is your favorite way to prepare eggs? That is a terrible question. Mm. I like them scrambled. I can't think of
I can't eat them any way other than scrambled because eggs disgust me.
Yeah, I'm not. I feel the same way. I'm sort of. Sabrina, eggs?
Scrambled. With ketchup.
With as much stuff in it to cover the taste of the actual egg.
I like eggs.
Eggs,
that's fun.
Like an omelet to me is like
ketchup
a.
Ketchup with them, which is apparently weird.
No, it's not particularly weird.
No.
When I go elsewhere, it is.
Well, stop going elsewhere. That's the problem.
No, when I have to go to the Midwest, it's apparently weird.
Well,
they don't do things
well,
like
there,
that
they just
there.
Dump white gravy on everything.
It's
and
true.
Call it good.
White gravy is tasty. Actually,
whenever you say white gravy, man,
it's the bane of my existence.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by white gravy.
White gravy, mmm.
Friends, when you are insulating your home in this time of depression, remember to stock up on white gravy.
White gravy,
white.
Right now. Our next question.
God, I hope that made it on mic the other night. It wasn't from the pre-show.
What? Which?
The, what do you call it? The old-time radio stuff.
Oh, no, that was not.
Awesome.
Just briefly, that's my sort of warm-up voice. I try to do the old radio voice and the old Don and Mike show that I was a big fan of. Used to, the phrase they would use to get into their old-timey voice was, right now.
Tonight's episode of The Shadow is brought to you by Blue Coal.
Buy some Blue Coal
friends,
right now.
That was always my favorite. Just like, friends, when you're freezing to death during the Great Depression we're in, buy Blue Coal. It's made from the bones of starving orphans.
What's in there? What's it made from?
Orphan boy.
I may have
what?
Used an orphan. What? An orphan.
So.
Why did you use an orphan?
I may have used some unorthodox parts. Just tell me one. Orphan. What? Little orphan boy. I only use the heart.
Dr. Venture, good times.
Walking eye. Frog, I drove.
So our next question comes from you-know-who. Dear Ronald and Matthew, what is the best way to scare a goat? I think I know how to get my hands on one of those fainting goats that all the kids like. Yours in Christ, Kevin M. Lynch.
Matthew?
That's Flonk. Isn't your name Matthew?
I guess.
And mine technically is Ronald, yeah. So, you know, he's going, yes, my hair is red, my name is Ronald.
I didn't say it.
Now I know why you went with the alias. All right, that clears up a lot of things.
Yeah. So, scaring a goat. This is really what we've come down to? Flonk, really?
There's a movie about that now.
Goat scaring?
Yeah.
Is this like a lucrative business?
No,
like a...
it's the men. What was it? The men who stare at
goats. Oh, the men who stare at goats.
Yeah.
That's...
Oh, maybe that's what he's goats. Making clever
yeah.
reference
uh-huh.
to.
Yeah, it's goats.
I will say, and having two sort of pseudo Vancouverites here, I can ask about the roof goat.
Oh, the roof goat.
Do you guys know about this?
Yeah,
it's
not.
Right?
I thought it was like Parks, but let me briefly explain.
There's a guy on one of the message boards, not actually the one we were talking about earlier, a different one, who had mentioned the famous Canadian roof goat and posted pictures, and several other Canadians on this forum are like, I've never heard of that. What the hell is the roof goat?
This is our version of the fish.
And he posted a picture of a goat on a roof. That's all it is.
The roof fish. Goat. Yeah.
And so I decided, I decided that roof goat was a very funny phrase and started using it and... tried to work it in everyday conversation and it
you're
just
trying to sell me Die Hard and a roof goat
and a roof goat. So really, what is the deal?
Is it?
It's a roof goat, obviously.
Okay, good. Making sure you're pronouncing roof correctly.
I do not say rough goat.
It's a roof goat.
No,
yeah,
that's a different.
So
kind
what
of goat?
What is then
basically
the deal with
there's
the roof
like
goat?
This big farmer's market and I know it's on
it's
I know
on
it's
Vancouver
on
Island.
Vancouver Island
okay.
somewhere,
yeah.
And it's basically the roof just sort of leans down. And on top
does
of
it,
yeah, it's got grass
yeah.
on it. It's got grass.
The roof
on
has
it.
Grass on it.
Yeah, the roof has grass on it.
It's grass. Or
it's a
moss
it's a big
or...
it's a big fuck off roof. Mm. It's
grass
got a little...
or moss.
Oh yeah. Shit! It's got a little.
Why are you wearing that still?
It's got a little shed for the goats to live in.
Okay.
And
goat shed. And the goats.
It has numerous goats living up there, and they just sort of hang out. And
so it's just a farm with some goats. What's the big deal?
It's just, it's on the roof of a farmer's market.
That's the worst. Like, I was expecting some kind of cool urban legend, some kind of Jersey Devil thing.
And they jump down with giant fangs and eat people?
Yeah, it's sort of the reverse chupacabra.
That only happened, like, what, six times?
But really, that would be the comeuppance for the chupacabra. That would be like, you know, instead of like killing the goats, the goats actually, you know, in Soviet Canada.
Well, I'm on vacation in beautiful Canada. I think I'll go see what's going on Vancouver Island.
They're cousins with the giraffes that have leather pants.
What?
Thank you, SNL, for that.
All they found the next morning were some bones and a pile of semi-chewed cans.
And a child's shoe.
Al, will you send me a muffin or maybe a cruller? Oh, yes, the donut thing. We're not going to talk about the donut.
Muffin!
Your muffins have been shot into space.
Who threw this pork cow?
That's a stinking muffin!
Dear Ellen Matt, does anyone use the medium setting on a fan or air conditioner?
I don't.
No.
We don't have air conditioners.
Oh, right. This isn't a Canada thing. This is a West Coast thing. We don't have air conditioning in Seattle either. When I did the tour for my apartment complex, I'm like, so where's the air conditioner? And they just kind of laughed.
The what?
At the, what are you talking about? And, of course, it reached 100 degrees this year, the hottest it's ever been on record in Seattle. And I'm fucking melting.
The West Coast is about ready to burst in flames.
It's true.
I'm good. I got a pool. Screw you guys.
Well, now you're the rich one, obviously. Since you have,
it's above ground. Good enough.
Oh, well, then you're...
When you need a pool, it's fine.
It's not shaped like a shark, right?
No, it is not.
All right. Dear Matt, these are all still from Flonk, incidentally, unless otherwise noted. You forgot that Magic Johnson lived inside live-action Mario's medicine cabinet. Talking, of course, about the Super Mario Brothers Super Show we talked about a few weeks ago. Is this something you remember?
I don't
obviously
fucking know what he's talking about, but that's the most funny sentence I've ever heard.
Incidentally, you just said a boat.
I know.
Okay.
Wow.
Because he insists he doesn't say it like that, and you just did.
No, I don't.
So.
Say it again. Keep saying it.
A boat.
On the roof.
About.
Yeah,
about.
On the roof.
Say scuba.
That is a funny word.
All right, and
you took my eye.
The question now comes from Flonk, and it's about donuts. So, you know what, Flonk? Fuck you.
Yeah,
we should make you a neon sign
for the donuts that don't exist that I
for
do
the
not
podcast
make
that you can't see.
Right, the viewers will love that. So I think that's about all we have time for here. These guys have to get on to a. Exciting.
Much like every podcast, we have to go do something else.
Now, much like every podcast, Matt has somewhere else to be and decides, the first hour we do is fine.
I'm a professional podcast kateer.
They don't just give these to anyone, right?
You need a little bowling shirt with your name on it.
Yeah.
And a crocodile.
Bowling is far too close to sports, I have to say.
Bowling.
So,
did it. So sports, it's all right
sports,
in my
sports,
book.
Sports.
I suppose that's true. Yeah, it's time to go. So, Sabrina, thank you. Sorry we had to make this brief.
That's quite all right. Thank you for letting me invade.
Absolutely, anytime. Anytime. We could definitely use a little more estrogen on the show. We had, unfortunately, intended to have Angel Robinson on a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
She still is certainly welcome and will be on soon, but that didn't work out for technical reasons, or possibly political reasons. I don't remember. It's been a long weekend, and this is the third podcast I've recorded in 24 hours, and I'm going to kill Matt, so.
Oh, man.
Yay!
Matt, any final words? Any last requests?
God, we still need a...
No, I mean for your life.
Oh, for my life? No.
All right, I got you. So, from all of us here, we're going
to... From all of us to all of you, have a magical Christmas.
This may post by Christmas, actually. We're so far ahead now.
Yay.
All right, we're going to stop talking now.
La, 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 la.
Musical interlude.
Sarcastic Voyage Podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website again is Algar, AlGar.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, at RobotMatt and at Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage Podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2009.
He was a suburban child of the 70s.
Butt wagon.